Well, how are y'all doing today? Good? I am excited to be here this morning to be able to preach. Brother Avery texted me first part of last week and says, I'm going to be out of town. I need you to preach. I said, okay. No problem. So this morning, the title of the message is called Mountaintop Meetings. Mountaintop Meetings. You there yet, Brock? There you go, buddy. Thank you, sir. Mountaintop Meetings. Okay. I have been praying about the next time that I was going to preach and what I was going to speak about, and I was really struggling on what I was going to do. And I got to thinking back to a sermon that one of my favorite pastors, Dr. James Merritt. I don't know if y'all have ever heard Dr. Merritt preach, but he is an awesome guy. He's got a ministry called Touching Lives. And it's a great ministry. But I went back and I looked at some older sermons and kind of threw some of my stuff together. And I got a little bit from him today, too. So if somebody says, well, I've heard that from somebody before. Yes, you did. Okay? I want to let you in on a little secret, okay, that one of my professors at seminary told me. He says, there's nothing original in ministry. He's like, you can go through the Bible. He says that people are going to have the same topics to talk about a lot of times. But today, we're going to be talking about mountaintop meetings. And we're going to be in the book of Exodus. And we're going to be in chapter 19. Book of Exodus starting in chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And we're going to go through verse 15. Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. It says, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, and all that the Lord had spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it means to us, God, each and every day. We ask you just to be with us during this time and to help us as we just go through your word, God, and just open up our hearts and open up our minds this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Back in February of 1945, there was a conference. It was called the Yalta Conference. Alright, codename Argonaut. This was a secret conference because these guys didn't want anybody know where they were meeting, okay? It was also known as the Crimean Conference, alright? It was during World War II, and it was the meetings of the heads of governments of the United States, the United Kingdom, and the Soviet Union. Basically, they were meeting together to discuss post-war reorganization of Germany and Europe. The three states were represented by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Prime Minister Winston Churchill and General Secretary Joseph Stalin. All right? This was one of three meetings of what they called the Big Three. Alright, the reason for the meeting is because they knew that they had Hitler on the run and they knew that the war was coming to an end. They had a really big job to do. They had to occupy what used to be Nazi Germany. They had to liberate the countries that had been taken over by the Nazis, and they had to rebuild Europe. And they had to figure this all out together on how to do this. Scholars said that this is the most important meeting of the 20th century. Would y'all agree with that? I think I would. It was a very big deal. It led to a lot of different things, okay? Most of us, I would think, would not be in a meeting like this. I don't know. Maybe some of you have. I don't know where you worked or what you've done before, okay? But most of us wouldn't be in a meeting of this magnitude. We wouldn't be part of a meeting that would carve up a fourth of the world or say, you know, who would live where. It was a very big thing. You know, I don't think we'll ever be in a meeting that big on earthly terms. But guess what? This morning, I had a meeting with the most important being in the universe. You know who that was? God. We have meetings with Him every day. The most important thing we have in life is time. Would y'all agree with that? There's never enough time, is there? Never enough time. Once it's gone, it's gone. Time is a life investment. Now, let me ask you this question. If this was your last day on planet Earth and you could only do one thing, what would that thing be? You probably have a lot of ideas, don't you? Here's the thing. What should it be? That one thing should be that meeting with God each and every day. You're like, man, is that important? Yes, it is. It is that important. And that's what I want y'all to see this morning as we talk about Moses and the Israelites and that meeting with God. I want to show you how important that meeting is every day with Jesus. How important it is for you to read your Bible every day, to have that prayer time. And you might say, well, Derek, you don't know me. You don't know the burdens that I have. You don't know the things that I've got going on in life. Guess what? Everybody's busy. And let me tell you something. If you're too busy to get into God's Word, you're too busy. We don't ever need to be that busy. God wants us to meet with Him every day. And sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. We skip it. We know when we skip it. Y'all, I know when I don't have my time with God every day. My day does not go right at all. You can just mark that day off. I have to have that meeting. You're doing too much if you don't have that time to have that meeting with God every day. Let me give you a little background here with Moses and the Israelites from this chapter. See, Moses brings the people of Israel to Sinai. They've been gone about 3 months. They traveled about 190 miles. They were getting ready to meet God. Okay? This was the first time in 400 years that they had met with God. Think about that. They had been in Egypt. They didn't know anything about God until Moses came back and was bringing them out of Egypt. Some of them had forgotten about God. See, this meeting was so important that they would stay there at that mountain for 11 months. 11 months. If you read the book of Exodus, you might think that Moses only went up to the mountain one time. How many of y'all have seen the movie The Ten Commandments? The old movie, all right, most of it, all right? And Moses goes up to the mountain at one time, and there's the commandments and stuff like that. If you go back and you read, he went up more than one time. God had him come up the mountain 7 times. How many of y'all would like to climb a mountain up and down 7 times? You can go up the mountain and down the mountain. He'd probably, come on, God, we need to get this done or whatever. But God was showing him how important it was for this particular meeting. But 7 times. See, here's the thing you need to remember. There's nothing more important in your life than meeting with God. You don't need an appointment. You don't have to pay money for it. He just wants your time. He wants you to meet with Him. Let me tell you this again. The same God that met with Moses wants to meet with you. Amen. Here's how we're going to do it. We got three things this morning. I'm going to show you how to have that meet with God. Number one is we must prioritize meeting with God. See, when Moses brought the people there, God says, all right, put them all down there in the mountain. He says, and then I want you to come up and I'm going to help you understand how this is going to work. Because here's the deal, okay? We don't dictate the terms to God. All right? God wants us to meet with Him, but He's the one that dictates the terms, right? It's not about us, it's about Him. And we have to remember that, okay? God gives them instructions on how to meet. If you look there in verse 1, it says, on the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. Verse 2, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. All right, first thing, God says to Moses, I want you to remind the people of how they even got here to begin with. Remind them how I led them out of Egypt. Okay, if you go back and you look at the stories, okay, Moses tried to remind them a bunch, but God's telling them, remind them again, because hey, the Israelites were whiners. It's amazing to me that Moses just didn't say, okay, I'm going to leave y'all in the desert and I'm gone. Because that's how much they whined and complained. They basically said, hey, we were better off as slaves. How can you say that? It was just crazy to me, but God is saying, hey, I want you to remind them where I brought them from. Then, a little bit further in the verse, He compares Himself to an eagle. Now, why do you suppose He compares Himself to an eagle? Well, I went and I did a little studying about eagles just to find out. Okay, a mama eagle builds a nest, okay? Now, they build these nests. These things are huge. You ever see an eagle's nest before? I have. Right, things are huge, okay? The most common ones are about 8 feet wide and 8 feet deep, okay? Big nest. I think the largest one ever built on record was 9.5 feet wide and 20 feet deep. Now, that's not a nest. That's a mall to keep all those birds in, okay? But it makes it nice and cozy for her birds. But here's one of the things that an eagle does. Mama eagle, one at a time, gets them babies, puts them on her back. She's going to teach them how to fly. And the way she does it is she puts one of them on her back and she takes off. And she goes way up in the sky, okay? And she gets up there way high and then she dumps that baby off and that baby just is screaming and squawking all the way down, okay? That bird is just gone, okay? So... That's cute. I like that, Brock. Uh-huh. I didn't put that picture in there. Brock's ad-libbing for me today now, so. Good job, dude. All right. Well, anyway. So, they drop the bird, okay? And now that mama bird just sits there and hovers because she's waiting to see if that bird will learn how to fly and flap those wings. Right to the point where she thinks that bird is not going to learn to do that, she swoops down there and she catches the baby. And she takes it right back up again. And she does that over and over again until that bird learns to fly. And she does that because she loves them. Now, how long does it take that bird to learn how to fly? Well, if you went to LSU or Southeastern, probably one time. If you went to the University of Alabama, who knows how long it takes. All right? But that's the way God is with us. Okay? Is He wants us, He loves us, and He puts us in situations like that, but that's what He's saying. Alright? You're meeting with a God that cares about you. A God who loves you. A God who will pick you up. A God who will be behind you no matter what. Now, is He gonna put you in situations that are a little bit dangerous sometimes? Yes, He is. You're going to go through trials, but He's going to be there to pick you up and to bring you out. That's what God is telling. Here's the thing, okay? If you don't have that meeting with God every day, you're going to live more in defeat than victory, okay? Because here's the thing, okay? We have our greatest battles are not physical. They're not mental. They're spiritual. And if we don't have that meeting with God every day, we're not going to be prepared. But we've got to prioritize that meeting. We've got to have that meeting. There was a Polish composer. He was a pianist. Well, probably one of the greatest pianists of the 20th century. His name was Jan Paderewski, alright? And the Polish government had come to him. He'd done a lot during World War I. Well, during World War II, the Polish government came to him and they wanted him to do concerts to help raise money for the war effort there during World War II. And he said he would do it under one condition, that they would have to pay him for 8 hours of work a day. And three of those 8 hours, all he would do was play scales. Now, our pianist knows what that is, playing scales, all right? Got to practice all those notes and all that, all right? And they said, okay, fine, no problem. They didn't even blink. They said, this man's going to raise us some money, so we're going to do that. Why do you think he wanted to play scales for 3 hours? And this is a quote from him, and I'm going to have it up on the screen here in a minute. He said this. He said, if I miss one day of playing scales, I would know it. If I miss 2 days, my coach would know it. If I miss 3 days, the world would know it. See, these piano players have to play scales to keep their fingers limber so they can play difficult pieces, to be able to stretch over and do stuff like that. If they don't practice, they'll miss a key and they know that they'll fall flat on their face. Here's the thing. Do we practice our scales every day? What do we do? You have to practice your scales. If you say you don't have the time to have that meeting with God every day, it's like I said before, you're too busy. You're doing too much stuff. We have to practice. We have to be prepared. Because if you're not prepared, guess what? Things are not going to go right. We have to prioritize for our meeting with God. Number two, we must prepare for the meeting with God, as I said before. During that Yalta conference, everyone was prepared. Roosevelt told Stalin, but he said, hey, when we invade Japan, hey, I want y'all to come in with us and to help us out. Churchill wanted free democratic elections for all of Europe. Stalin said when the UN was formed that they wanted to be a part of the Security Council. They all went into these meetings prepared. They had their advisors with them. They had their people with them. They knew what they wanted and they went in prepared. See, Exodus 19:10-15, these were instructions from God on how He wanted the people to prepare. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bonds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to that mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether a man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down the mountain to the people, sanctified the people. They washed their clothes, and he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Okay, you might be saying, okay, why all of this stuff? All right, why do they have to go and wash their clothes? Why did they have to do this? See, God was saying, do you know who you're meeting with? You are sinful, and I am holy. He said, I am setting the terms, and this is what you need to do. He wanted them to wash their clothes, to be pure, to be holy, okay? Because during that time, all right, what stood apart between the Christianity and Judaism and the other pagan religions of the world, okay, they just kind of did whatever they wanted. They set their own terms, all right? They did sinful stuff. It was a part of their religion. And God is saying, look, I'm a holy God. I'm a perfect God. If you want to approach me, you have to do it clean. If you're going to worship me, you need to be morally straight. You need to be ethically true. And you need to be spiritually pure to come before me. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to have the set of instructions to come and be clean. If you go back and you look at the days of the temple, whenever the priest would have to go into the Holy of Holies on the day of sacrifice, he would have to come out, change his clothes, wash up, and go back in again. He couldn't go before God unclean. And that's what God was telling them. You have to be pure. You have to be holy. Clean bodies and clean clothes represent a pure heart. Let me say that again. Clean bodies and clean clothes represent a pure heart. We need to have a pure heart when we go before God. You say, well, Derek, I'm not perfect. Hey, I'm not either. And that's why we have forgiveness of our sins, because Jesus came and died on the cross for us. And that way we can come before our God pure and holy. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See, we need to go to God in reverence. We need to go to God in awe and humble ourselves before him. You know, I believe if Moses was standing here today, he would say this, if the God you have met has not radically changed your life, you have met the wrong God. We are to be different. We are to be separate from this world. God wants us to come to him, and he wants us to be holy. He wants us to be prepared for that meeting each and every day. If we meet with the one true God, we remember how sinful we are and how holy he is. So we need to be prepared when we go to that meeting. So how do we meet with God? We have to prioritize our meeting with God. We have to plan our meeting with God. And number three, we must practice meeting with God. See, the book of Exodus is broken up into two parts. The first half is the first 18 chapters. That talks about God leading the people out of Egypt. The second half, that chapters 18 through 24, I believe, God gives the law. That's what it's a part of, okay? And God brought them there and said, okay, we're going to have this meeting, and then I'm going to set forth some of the laws that you're going to have to follow. What were the laws that were given? Say it loud. Ten Commandments, that's right. All right, and most of y'all should know what the Ten Commandments are, right? You know, but the thing about it is that we look at these Ten Commandments, and a lot of times we go, oh yeah, I do that, and I can't do this, and can't do that. God didn't set these things up for us to be that way. God set these things up to be a recipe on how we should live. One of the things that God was letting them know is, hey, I brought you out, okay, but you're going to have to follow my laws, okay? Here's the thing. With freedom comes responsibility, okay? With freedom comes responsibility. God just wasn't going to say, all right, here you go. I set you free from Egypt. Just go and do what you want to do. No. He said, I have a purpose and I have a plan for you, okay? Here's the thing. I always hear people talk about their rights. Y'all hear that a lot? My rights. My rights. Okay, and we all have rights. We do. But what we should be talking about is our responsibility. See, we are accountable for our freedom. Do y'all believe that? We're accountable for our freedom. God is saying here, your freedom, here's your freedom, but here are the laws that you have to abide by are the commandments. We have laws that we have to abide by, correct? If we didn't have laws, it would be chaos. That's what God is telling us, okay? With that freedom comes responsibility. He's saying, I didn't lead you out of Egypt. I didn't lead you out of Egypt for you to live for you, okay? I led you out of Egypt to live for me. That's what he's telling them. See, America does not have freedom so we can do what we want to do. We have freedom so we can do what God wants us to do. We say, where's my rights? And God says, where's your responsibilities? God tells Moses exactly what he wants them to do. Exodus 19, 5 and 6 says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So God gives the Ten Commandments. Do this. Don't do that. All right? And a lot of times, when God tells us to do something, what do? I don't want to do that. It's the exact opposite. And when if God tells us not to do something, what do? We normally go and we do that. We're human. So God is setting them up for these laws and setting them up for the greatest life possible. This was His recipe on how to live our best life. And these commandments were these laws. How many of you ever heard of a man, a golfer by the name of Chichi Rodriguez? Alright? Great golfer. Chichi Rodriguez is from Puerto Rico. Has anybody ever been to Puerto Rico? David, you never been to Puerto Rico? I don't know why I thought maybe it was the Dominican Republic or something that you've been to before. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, if you've never been to Puerto Rico, I did some studying on this, but this is a true story, okay? Alright, traffic laws over there are nil. Okay? If you go over there and drive, just be aware that it's going to be crazy. It's going to be like Mario Kart. I'm showing my age now. All right? That's the thing. Well, anyway, Chichi had a friend that he brought down to Puerto Rico with him. And Chichi and his friend got in a car and they took off. And they were driving through town and all of a sudden they came to an intersection and the light turned red. Chichi blew his horn and just blew right through that red light. His friend said, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, my brother taught me how to drive." He said, "So this is what he does, so that's what I do." Guy just kind of looked at him like he was crazy. And they driving along again, and they came to another intersection, and the light turned red, and Chichi hit the horn again and blasted it and blew right through, and several cars spun around. His friend says, "Oh, my gosh, Chichi." He says, "You're going to kill us. We're going to die." He says, "I told you my brother taught me how to drive. This is what he does, so that's what I do." He said, took off and drove and hit another intersection. They were coming up there. All of a sudden, the light turned green, and Chichi slammed on his brakes, and they came to a complete stop. And his friend says, "What in the world are you doing? The green light." He said, "It's a green light. You're supposed to go." He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm waiting on my brother." See, a lot of us stop on the green lights and we go on the red lights. God says, "Do this," and we go, "Well." And He tells us not to do something and we go right ahead and do it. So here's the thing for Moses and them. There was no written word until Exodus 20. Do y'all understand that? They didn't have anything to look at to give them rules until the Ten Commandments. This was a very important meeting. And God wanted them ready and for them to have a written sheet for life right there. Basically kind of like a cheat sheet. He goes, "Here it is. I'm giving you the answers right here. All you have to do is follow." He's saying, "If you want to hear from me, read my word." That's why we're constantly saying you need to read your Bible. Because if you're not getting into God's word, you're not going to hear from God. Two things you need to do to meet with God. First, you need a place. People, they come to a place. They came to a mountain. If I was going to say, "Okay, let's have a meeting together," I would have to have a place for us to meet, right? That would make sense. Coffee shop, my office, whatever. But you have to have a place. And the place that God wanted them to meet was their mountain. I want to ask you this morning. Where is your mountain? Where do you meet with God? It could be a closet at your house. It could be a study. It could be... I don't know. Maybe outside somewhere where you sit, a nice quiet spot. To God, it doesn't matter. He just wants you to meet with Him. But you need to have that meeting place. The second thing is you need to have a plan. You need a systematic way of reading the Bible. Whether it be a Bible study or if you're just reading through a book, whatever. It doesn't matter to God. He just wants you to have a plan in place so you will do it. There was a survey put out. Years ago, Autumn Cole did a study, and they surveyed 45,000 Christians from the age 8 to 80 on how people study the Bible. They went and looked, people who do it one time a week, and that's even people who come to church and listen to somebody, what you're doing today, and then they don't pick that Bible up again until they come back the next Sunday, one time a week, there was no effect in their life. Two times a week, it was the same thing. Three times a week, there was a faint heartbeat. There was some life coming back. But four times a week, there was an explosive spike. People being spiritually stagnant dropped 60%. Sharing their faith jumped 200%. Discipling jumped 230% just because they were getting in the Word four times a week. God says, read my Word. Have that time. Get a plan together. Start reading God's Word. I want to challenge you. Starting this week, read the Bible four times a week. Pick a book. Use a reading plan. But get into His Word. See, you cannot be who God wants you to be unless you get into His Word. You want to draw near to God, get into His Word. That's what the Bible is here for us. People say all the time, well, I don't know how to do that. It's not that hard. I'll show you. We'll get you in a book and we'll get you start reading. If you got questions, you just come and ask. Here's the thing, and I'm going to be finished. One thing, and y'all have heard me say this before, all of the Bible is about who? Jesus. If you go back from Genesis all the way to Revelations, it's about Jesus. Here's the thing. You need a mountain to meet with God. Now, you can go to that mountain and not meet with God because guess what? You need a mediator. See, even Moses didn't meet directly with God. God called down from him, okay? But we need that mediator. You cannot walk sin alone. I'm going to tell you that right now. You have to have a go-between. Somebody that can meet directly with God when you couldn't. Here's the thing. Because of Jesus, every day of my life, I go into the presence of God. Because of Jesus, every day of my life, I meet with God face to face. Every day of my life, I have a heart to heart with God because I have a mediator. What did Jesus say? What did He tell everybody? That no man comes to the Father but by me. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you're not going to know God. He is that mediator. He is the one that died on the cross for our sins. He is the one that brought us to God. See, if you don't get in that book every day, the Bible every day, you'll find out that sin will keep you from that book. Or that book will keep you from sin. You just got to make that call. You say, well, how do I live my life? I don't need to be perfect. No, I'm not asking you to be perfect. But if you're not getting into God's Word like you need to, you're not going to be spiritually ready for everyday life. I promise you that. And here's the thing. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to be a pastor. Once again, the same God who met with Moses wants to meet with you. Where is your mountain this morning? Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this time that we've had in Your Word this morning. Father, I ask You just to continue to be with us and to lead us and guide us. God, I ask You to help us to understand that we need to be in Your Word, God, each and every day, and we need to draw near to You. Father, I pray that there's someone here today that doesn't know You as Lord, that they'll take care of that business this morning before we leave. Lord, we love You, and we thank You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Spot's going to come and lead us in an offertory hymn. If you need to come up and pray this morning, the altar's open. And